wir haben nie diesen Konzept Gedanken gehabt.
We've never had this conceptual idea of now we're going to start a band, now we're going to make a plan, we're going to do it this way and that, to attain such and such success. We really just dig music. And we know pretty well by now how to make music loud. Not just doing a job, but also stirring up emotions. I mean, it's pretty easy to produce techno. With a little equipment and YouTube, you can get a sound going pretty fast. But to breathe soul into electronic music, you do have to be a bit philosophical. I don't want to say spiritual, though that's ultimately what it's all about. And I'm absolutely convinced that if you keep fueling things creatively and sincerely, staying true to yourself as an artist, then it'll be a success.
Dann hat das auch Erfolg.
That was Gernot Brandsert of Mode Selector divulging their secret recipe for success. If, like Angie Potsman, you've ever experienced Mode Selector starting to play at a festival and seeing people rush towards the stage like lemmings, magnetically drawn by the duo's irresistible bass lines, then you love their sound anyway. Whether as Moderat or together with Apparat or as the duo Mode Selector, Sebastian Schari and Gernot Brandsert are always a sure thing. My name is Double Decker Dave Creedon, and you're listening to the English language version of the Popcast, a monthly podcast jointly produced by the Goethe Institut and Zündfunk Bayern 2. Our mid-spring lineup features Frau Lehmann, Lucy Kruger and the Lost Boys, KMRU, Kibouchet, and needless to say, Mode Selector. That was Mode Selector with a banger called Blockchain. It's off their new album, Classics Volume 1, with a slightly misleading subtitle, We Tried Hard and Failed Again, Enjoy. Even though Mode Selector have now attained worldwide success and have played with big names like Tom York of Radiohead, Paul Saint-Hilaire and Blixer Bargeld, the duo clearly haven't lost their sense of humour. No wonder Classics Volume 1, which was initially supposed to be a best-of compilation, ended up sounding very different. Gernot Brandsert explains why in an interview with our Zündfunk colleague Moritz Jelting.
Also wir haben erstmal von den ersten beiden Alben aus.
We started by selecting tracks off our first two albums, Hello Mum and Happy Birthday. But it soon dawned on us that it'd be easier to stick to instrumental tracks for the time being, so as not to complicate things bothering about copyright issues. We've always featured guest artists, but many of them aren't making music anymore, or they're unavailable, too complicated, too big and can't be reached anymore, whatever. So our first idea was to recreate everything. Just as you'd imagine when you hear the title, Classics Volume 1, that it'd be a sort of remastered version. But we soon realized we didn't feel like doing that, and that would actually be uncool. Cool band actually don't do that sort of thing. So, seeing as that turned out to be a non-starter, we ended up reworking the songs the way we would do them now. Gernot Bronstedt and Sebastian Schadi are from the outskirts of East Berlin, and they've been mainstays of the Berlin techno scene as DJs, producers and label owners since the early noughties. They're known and respected in the scene, but they're always open to new ideas and take a pretty eclectic approach. Whether it's IDM, hip-hop, UK bass, breaks, house or ambient, Modeselector are still keen on experimenting and pursuing new, innovative ideas outside the mainstream.
Also wir sind eher immer auf der Suche nach out-of-the-box-thinking-Produktionen. So.
We tend to be on the lookout all the time for productions that involve thinking outside the box. And whilst taking these old songs apart, we'd kept old computers that hadn't been online in 15 years or even longer, which makes them virtual time capsules. So we were able to open sessions that hadn't been opened for many years. And there were folders on the computer's desktop with photos and miscellaneous old stuff. So making this record was a totally emotional process. We also had help, by the way, from Johannes Wagner, a musician who's much younger than we are, who helped us to gripe with this whole spate of data and files. He was sort of an assistant. Johannes grew up on that music back in the day. So you've got someone 15 years younger with you in the studio who starts sobbing away when he hears a song because he used to cycle to school listening to that one. It was hard for us as a band to do it that way, which is why the record is called Modeselector Classics Volume 1. We tried hard and failed again. Enjoy.
Und deswegen heißt die Platte ja auch Modeselector Classics Volume 1. We tried hard and failed again. Enjoy.
That was Gernot Bronstedt and Sebastian Schadi of Modeselector talking about their new album, the upshot of some highly emotional time capsules. Let's segue from Modeselector to Frau Lehmann from Leipzig. After a number of singles and EPs, this foursome have finally released their very first album. It's called Trost und Trotz, which means solace and defiance. And the music sounds like a marvellous mix of Isolation Berlin and the Berlin indie pop band The Lassie Singers.
Falls jemand fragt, ich stecke in der Warteschleife von der Künstler Sozialkasse fest. Und ich muss sagen, der Name ist hier echt Programm, wenn man männlich und von reichen Eltern ist. Doch das gilt nicht für mich, denn ich bin ja Künstlerin. Und Deutschlandfunk Kultur will, dass ich brenne. Kompromisslos für die Kunst, Potenzial als eben Qual. Ich soll mich vermarkten, nicht vermehren. Musik.
Spiegel magazine has this to say about Frau Lehmann: an exciting new band have emerged from the ruins of indie rock and pop literature. On their brilliant debut, Trost and Trotz, Frau Lehmann threatens to eat the rich for want of funding. Unquote. So it's the old punk battle cry, eat the rich, in a laid-back indie format. Here's Fiona and Philip from the band talking about the number Deutschlandfunk Kultur, which is a radio station, will, dass wir brennen. Or Deutschlandfunk Kultur, want to see us burn.
Für uns ist es so ein bisschen unsere Lebensrealität.
It's simply a slice of our everyday reality. We weren't actually out to attack or demonize music journalism per se, or the music business in general for that matter. Most people who end up working in the industry are there out of passion. So maybe we should be criticizing, what do I know, the tech companies, or the real estate businesses, or something else instead. But it's our reality all the same, in which we're trying to survive somehow, which we've simply described here.
I always feel very understood when I listen to music where someone else is having a similarly hard time of it. Just not being alone with your own bitterness can sometimes be comforting in itself. So the song Deutschlandfunk Kultur will, dass wir brennen, Deutschlandfunk Kultur want to see us burn, is about the precarious nature of the artist's life. There's a whole lot of anger, pain and sorrow on this album. Not for nothing is it called Trost und Trotz, Solace and Defiance. And there's something consoling about the incredibly catchy tunes. Take the song Melancholia, for example, in which all the world's despondency collides with strenuously strummed indie rock. Speaking of melancholy, it crops up over and over again on the album. Here's the singer Fiona Lehmann, after whom the band is named, on the subject of melancholy.
I'd say it's an essential state of mind for me, the source of most of my creativity, which is why I think this album probably wouldn't exist without melancholy.
Well then, let's hear it for melancholy, to which we owe Trost und Trotz, Frau Lehmann's terrific indie guitar pop debut. Lucy Kruger and the Lost Boys' new album, Pale Bloom, is also about creativity and about writer's block. It's a very intense record that draws you in, like a Virginia Woolf novel.
She went to the water. I love her stories. She went to the water. I feel cold. I feel cold again. Mother drags a meme. Three bodies breathing. Mother bears her feelings. If she falls, if she falls again. Who is hell? Who is holding them? She went to the water. I love her stories. She went to the water. It was told. It was told again.
writing desk or further from God than I've ever been. I bought flowers and I'm begging at best. Send me a poem, touched and unblessed. Teacher, teacher, won't you teach me this? Slip me a note, swallow the rest. Teacher, teacher, won't you watch me undress? Watch me suck on the words, watch them sully this dress.
If Pale Bloom were a room, it would be gloomy and stuffy, dimly lit, with heavy, dark red curtains, with a very faint light seeping in through the dust-coated windows from the natural world outside, where one longs to be. Here, in this dark, dank room, the Berlin-based South African singer-songwriter Lucy Kruger whispers, sings, and enchants us, at times sounding like PJ Harvey or Nico. Kruger dedicates one song to Virginia Woolf. I asked her what she finds so fascinating about the pioneering feminist British writer.
I guess in my mind it was sort of, she was an older English author and I had this kind of idea around that, and I imagined that it would be quite unrelatable in a way. And then I started reading it and that wasn't the case at all. I found it very moving and very, yeah, quite punk in a way. Like she's, yeah, it's just much wilder than I imagined it would be. It's sort of this rhythmical kind of writing that you have to sort of be sucked in, and then it really takes you into, well, I guess her headspace, but she's going through other people's headspaces. And I found it very alive, actually, and very, yeah, life-affirming. I was sitting down to try write the one day and feeling like my muse had sort of escaped me, and I was looking for all the reasons that might be, and blaming it on all sorts of historical experiences and just feeling a bit sort of emptied out and wondering how much of it was because of me and how much of it was because of the state of the world. And somehow she came to mind, and yeah, there was sort of a lot of gratitude and also sadness, I suppose, just at the complexity also of the human experience, I guess, that somebody with such a rich inner life could want to leave.
That was Lucy Kruger on discovering Virginia Woolf. Pale Bloom is an art pop album, slowcore and existentialist chamber rock, all rolled into one. The band described their music as, quote-unquote, tender noise, with a stoic bass, the cold searing guitars, and in between Lucy Kruger's soft, vulnerable vocals. Then the Lost Boys come back in loud and clear with synths, drums and droning guitars. Tender Noise hits the spot.
Tender Noise, I think it does really describe what we do. And I think something that I've managed to understand or to find is that the vulnerability or a kind of more fragile state needs something a little bit stronger to hold it or to work against it in order to illuminate it and also to transform it, I guess. But also just quite literally, our guitarist, Liu, is a wonderful artist, and I think if you watch her, it'll just be very clear. It's just a very human kind of noise, and noise in the sense of, I guess, maybe noise is a strange way to put it, but there's something about the fullness of sound, and it almost, it is something that's disruptive, and it really feels like something. It gets into your body, but it's very tender. It's like, yeah, it's sort of rage that still has place for care or something like that.
There's something strangely comforting about the darkness on the album Pale Bloom. After all, the flowers may be pale, but they bloom all the same. Joseph Kamaru, a Berlin-based Kenyan who goes by the handle KMRU, is a grandson of a famous Kenyan musician of the same name. Rolling Stone magazine have already hailed KMRU as one of the leading pop avant-gardists of our time. His works range from ambient and East African music to noise and sound art. He describes his music as, quote-unquote, ethereal soundscapes to get lost in. His latest brainchild is called Kin, as in kinship, family. It's yet another highly ambitious experimental album, with tracks like Blurred, featuring Fenez. As the title album, Kin, suggests, KMRU's latest release is about belonging. Gently gliding drones converge here, almost as if they were embracing. Field recordings flicker up like half-forgotten images, the faint whisperings of a voice, a faraway echo, a memory. KMRU told us in an interview that Kin is partly inspired by sounds from his youth in Nairobi.
Yeah, the record was also inspired my youth time in a way. Mostly my guitar, my fondness of the guitar sound and playing guitar. I used to play guitar in my teenage years. I taught kids playing the guitar. And yeah, I don't think I've still made a record purely on the guitar. But I think Kin began actually when I started experimenting with distortion plugins and circuits and everything around distortions, I think. And was also happening when I was touring in the US with Finesse or just being around musicians playing the guitar. And yeah, the same year I was also touring with Big Thief, and I was around a lot like band sort of guitar music around me, and got me thinking about just reminiscing when I was playing the guitar.
KMRU, who has adopted Berlin as his new home, has a fine sense of memories, no matter how blurred they may be. He tells us to listen closely to Kin several times and at high volume, and says that we'll find the drone landscapes on Kin conceal a number of Easter eggs. And, lo and behold, there are indeed some enchanting melodies to be discovered beneath the many layers of electronic sound Kamaru has artfully stacked up on this album, as in the track Blurred, which we've just heard. It was recorded with the Austrian experimental musician Fenner's, by the way, who likewise starts with a guitar to build his complex, multi-layered ambient sounds. KMRU explains how this collaboration came about and his connection to Fenner's.
Yeah, it was just like this bond that began in Portland where we first met. And also like the connection with Editions Mago. And I think when we played the show in New York in this church, yeah, that's when we actually started speaking about maybe we should make something together. And so when he sent back the recordings, I was like, wow. And then I collaged everything together, and that was the close-up of the record, and finally decided to share it with Christian on it.
While KMRU often ends up on playlists called Gloomcore or Music for Plants, Kabouche, Kamaru's compatriot and our last showcased act on this podcast, gets straight to the point, which is why his music can be found on playlists like Anti-Pop and Afro-Punk. Singer, rapper and producer Kabouche, whose real name is Kabochi Gito, is likewise a Berlin transplant originally from Nairobi. On his new album, extravagantly titled Kabouche Presents Iggy Swaggering, Ungrateful, Incessant Little Pee, his inspirations run the gamut from Tyler, the creator, to Prince and Bollywood. It's supposed to prick your ears a little, says Kabouche about his grandiose and very danceable mix of musical genres. And it sure does when French Baroque music, industrial hip-hop and pop rap coalesce into a funky monster that you won't forget any time soon. The monster is commanded by Herr Iggy, the ruler of the imaginary Durf Kingdom. His subjects want to vote the egomaniac despot out of office, but Herr Iggy clings desperately to the throne. Kabouche's album tells the tale of Iggy's rise and fall. Any parallels with the current political situation? Well, that can't be ruled out. After all, Kabouche is retelling the age-old story here of glory and grandeur, hubris and downfall. So let's dance our way with Kabouche through April sunshine and showers. This is debonair Dave Creedon signing off on Angie Portman's Springtime Popcast. Ciao for now.